Well, happy Wednesday. Thank you for coming out tonight. It's just a blessing to see each and every one of you here. There's a few other meetings going on throughout the building as well tonight. But thank you for being in here for our worship and for the Word. Tonight I want to talk to you about three things that you may face without knowing why. Now, that's not technically a proper question with a question mark, but the question mark there is because sometimes you may be walking through your Christian life, and as far as you know, you're doing the things you need to do. And yet, things aren't going the way that you think the Word says they ought to go. I'm simply saying sometimes we can become confused. Now, look around the room, and we have some folks, you've been living for the Lord, walking for the Lord a long, long time. You've seen Him do a whole lot of stuff across the years, and you've grown in your faith. We have others that you're more recent converts. In other words, you haven't known the Lord a long time, but yet here you are and you're growing. But one thing that we learn along the way is there's so much that we still don't know and understand about the Lord. And there's just a lot of stuff you and I are never going to be able to adequately answer on this side of eternity. There's that scripture in the book of Deuteronomy, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, and the things that can be known, He's revealed to us. Some things God wants us to know, and that's called revelation. We have His Word that reveals to us a lot about who He is, and how He works, and who Jesus is, and what He's done for us on the cross, and who we are without Him, who we are with Him. And all of those are important studies. And yet, you can cram and cram and cram for that final exam. When you and I stand before the Lord, there will be so much that we're going to know in a moment that we could never learn in a million lifetimes. You know, the Bible says that now we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face. The Bible says that then we'll know even as we are known. It's going to be an immaculate upgrade that you and I are going to receive when we leave this life and step into the next. And at the second coming of Christ and the resurrection, then we're going to get glorified bodies to go along with our born-again spirit and soul. Now, back to the subject, three things you may face without knowing why. Now, there's a lot more than three. I'm just going to toss three at you tonight. And before I share each of those three things, I want to share some scripture with you out of Hebrews chapter 11, which is called the Hall of Faith in the New Testament. The cloud of witnesses that the writer of Hebrews tells us about that have gone before us, the lives they lived, the obstacles they faced, the triumphs they experienced. So many of those stories are cram-packed into Hebrews chapter 11, and that early in that chapter we're told that without faith you're not going to please God. And then the writer begins to give us examples of people who live by faith. As a matter of fact, you'll see that phrase. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Moses. And on, a number of people are enumerated in Hebrews 11. And so let's dig into some of those scriptures. I'm going to read them for you, then I'll make reference to them as we move through this teaching tonight. Beginning with verse 8. Where it says, by faith, Abraham, obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. You'll want to remember that verse. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Now jump down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, again, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Remember that story? He offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise, now this is the son that God had promised him, and he waited so long, and then he and Sarah finally had Isaac. Now God says, I want you to offer him to me as a sacrifice. And he received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Now notice what Abraham concluded. Concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Now you know the story. He went up and he lifted up the knife. He was going to take his life. And this scripture tells us that Abraham knew, God said it would be in Isaac, that the whole world would be blessed. There would be a lot of people born through Isaac. And yet God was requiring him. He knew if God required him to do that, that God would raise him from the dead, because God would keep his word. Now, God didn't require him to offer his son. He stayed his hand. He provided a ram caught in the bush. But Abraham was willing. When we get to the new covenant, God did offer his son. And that's the story of Jesus the Christ. As we move on, as we jump back to verse 13, it says, after he's mentioned several other people whose acts of faith are recorded, he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. They died without seeing all of those promises fulfilled, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. Some of the promises of God outlive us. There may be things the Lord shows you that he wants you to do that you may never see the complete fulfillment or fruition of all that promise, but you don't see all the purpose behind that promise. And it may be your children and your children's children that see that come forth, but your obedience set it in motion. And we're told there that they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Jumping forward to verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. These are people who live by faith. These were people who were seeing the promises afar off. It says others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, like those three guys in the fiery furnace, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Of course, God delivered them. But all through the scripture, you see people who gave their lives, verse 36. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sown in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And you're thinking, oh, preacher, I came tonight to be encouraged. Hang on. Verse 38. Of whom, that is, those that experienced all that, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these having obtained a good testimony. These were people that had a good testimony before God. It says they had a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Now, I understand that this well that we're drawing out of tonight, it goes a lot further than the rope we have to lower our buckets, right? The mysteries, the mind of God. But what we can see when we kind of look at the big picture here is God sees a much bigger picture than we do. We can be so individualistic in our thoughts. Everything's about me. Everything's about my four and no more. But from God's vantage point, He has a divine drama of redemption that continues to unfold and will do so until we see in the end what He intended in the beginning. Now, this in no way minimizes faith, because we're told all these people had a good testimony by their faith. It's just the role that they, the lives they lived, the role they played in this redemptive story of God, they were in a time different than we are. We're on this side of the cross. Now God has offered His Son. And the writer of Hebrews is telling people who are wanting to go back to the temple and offer those blood of bulls and goats and all that again and again and again, that's over. He's telling them, that's over now. God has now offered His Son, and our position's in Christ. Our sins are forgiven. What they look forward to, God has now sent the Messiah. Now, they saw, many of them saw beyond the cross. That's like Daniel. He saw all the way to the end times. That's like in the New Testament, the book of Revelation. Some of what Jesus taught in Matthew 24. Some of what Paul taught in 1 and 2 Thessalonians and so forth looks beyond even the second coming. John saw beyond the second coming. John saw beyond the thousand-year reign of Christ. John saw all the way to the new heaven and the new earth. But here we are occupying this little space of time we call our life on this earth, and God's Word says you're very important in that. Your story is woven into God's story. And you and I are valuable to Him. He loves us. And we are to steward ourselves before Him so that the life that we live magnifies Him and brings Him glory. That's the chief end and purpose of God, as been stated in the Westminster Confession. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We were told in the book of Revelations we were made by Him and for Him. You and I exist for Him, for His glory. So here's the three things that I want to take these scriptures and I want to share with you. These three things that sometimes life can be really complicated, and you may have one of those, God, what are you up to? What's going on? This doesn't make sense. We occasionally need to be reminded of the things I'm going to share with you tonight. Because I'm past those easy-peasy, quick, simple formulas. You do this, you get that. Like it's real simple. Like you got God in a corner, and He's got to do what you're telling Him to do. That's not the way it works. He's a sovereign God. And the things that we can know, He chooses to reveal those to us. But He does call us to live a life of faith. That means that we will trust Him. Everybody under the sound of my voice tonight, you're trusting in someone or something. And my prayer is that you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the galaxy is held together, by whom all things have been created. Now, here's the first thing. You may have to go not knowing where. If you're going to live a life and walk with God, there may be times that He has you moving in a direction in your life and it makes no sense to you. We read that Abraham, by faith, he went out not knowing. He obeyed God. He got a word from God about the direction to head off in. He had a promise of God that I'm going to, you know, bless you and the whole world's going to be blessed to you. But he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, that can be exciting sometimes. Maybe your spouse says, hey, we're going on a vacation. I'm not going to tell you where, but it's going to be good. Pack the car. Well, you can get excited about that because, you know, it's going to be good. You may not know where. But in your walk with the Lord, there's times when you know you've heard from him and you're taking that step of faith to do what he tells you to do. And it's like the opposite begins happening of what you thought might happen. And I've shared with you that with you recently about Joseph. Your brothers and sisters and your mom and dad, they're going to bow down and they're going to worship you. You're going to be exalted over them, him. Well, he was about 20 years later. But the first thing, one of the first things happened after that, his brothers grabbed him by the neck, threw him down in a pit, were going to kill him, and decided they'd sell him into slavery instead. And as you read the life of Joseph, God was in all of that, not causing it, but using that. That those slave traders just, quote, happened to come by just at the right time. They just happened to be headed to Egypt, and the oldest brother just happened to get some backbone and say, let's not kill him. Let's just sell him into slavery. God was moving. God was working. Why? Because he knew it would be Joseph that he would exalt in Pharaoh's kingdom in order to save Jacob, in order to keep his promise to Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. He raised up Joseph, and there came a day when his family bowed before him, and he was the means by which his whole family line was saved from perishing from the face of the earth. Now listen to me. Sometimes in your walk with God, you've been obedient. It's like my, you know, I started serving God like my kids did this, or this happened at work. You may not fully see what God is doing, how he's positioning you, what he's preparing for you. Only time will reveal. Paul, who knew a lot about tough times, says he declared that man cannot imagine or conceive of the glorious things that God has waiting on us and prepared for us. You may have to go not knowing where. Let me share with you, I know that Venezuela has been in the news a whole lot lately since that nab and grab of their leader. You know, 65 years ago in Venezuela, there was a 19-year-old young man by the name of Bruce Olson. Now, he had a heart for the Lord. God had dealt with him to go to the mission field. He wanted to be used to win people to Christ. People never heard about Jesus. He wanted to be the one to be able to preach Christ to them. And he felt a drawing to South America. He applied to various mission boards, and he got the responses, no, you're too young. You're too young to be sent to the mission field. But it just kept growing in him, so finally, he leaves with $70. This was in 1961. He leaves with $70 in his pocket, and he flies down to South America. He lands in Caracas, Venezuela, and he spent some time on the street in the city, and nothing was happening. And then he just felt a burden. He went into the jungles. He found himself down close to the border of Colombia, where Venezuela and Colombia meet, and there was the Bari, B-A-R-I, the Bari tribe. They were a very violent tribe of people. Whenever outsiders would come around, they would kill them. They had been unreached. He had such a burden. 19-year-old young man. He spent years trying to get an introduction, trying to get to know some of those people. Finally, he was introduced to them. He very slowly built a relationship with them. He didn't go in to try to disrupt their culture, but he got to know them, built a relationship. Years passed, and he finally was able to share Jesus with that tribe of people, and it transformed over a short period of time, began to transform those people and their village until those very violent tribesmen who served all these cultic gods, they bowed the knee to Jesus and their lives were transformed. All because of a young 19-year-old man that got a word from the Lord, didn't know exactly where he would end up. He was able to kind of follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit until he ended up right where God wanted him to be. Sometimes you may have to go not knowing where. But let's just be honest, particularly here in our Western culture, as blessed as we are, we're kind of like, well, I don't know, Lord, you're going to have to give me more than that. You know, I need the plan laid out. Everything needs to be, you know, it's like, Lord, if you can just get it where I won't need any faith to do it, I'm willing. But that's not how we're called to live. By faith, Abraham obeyed God and went out not knowing where he was going. He just went out knowing the Lord said, go, and trusted him to lead him to where he was supposed to end up. There is a union and an intimacy with the Lord that what Abraham did and what Bruce Olson, that 19-year-old young man, did. There's an intimacy and a union there, the ability to hear the voice of the Lord and a radical obedience. God, I'm going to obey you. I know it doesn't make sense, but my spirit's telling me this is you, so here I go in the name of Jesus. The Lord's not going to always show you step 2, 3, and 4. Sometimes you're just going to get step 1. But when you take step 1, when you receive the revelation that you're given and you obey, more revelation will be given. But it's easy to get in a standoff with God. Lord, you're going to have to give me more than this before I move. But Lord, you know, like Ruth did Naomi in the book of Ruth, where you go, I'll go. That's what she said to her mother-in-law. Where you go after her husband, where you go, I'll go. Who you serve, I'll serve. And when you became a believer, you know what went with that? Jesus, you are Lord. You're the boss, I'm not. Jesus, you call the shots, I don't. Jesus, I'll go where you lead me. And some of you are here tonight, and if you could stand up and give your testimony, it would probably look like a frog on a pond going from lily pad to lily pad. But you know tonight, you're right where God led you. You're right where you need to be. You may not yet see the full purpose that God has behind it, but if you have the peace of God ruling in your heart, right place, right time, you can trust that God's going to show you what you need to see next. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You may have to go not knowing where. Secondly, and there's the scriptures, we've read those, I quoted that. Second one, you may have to wait not knowing when. Now, you know, radical obedience. Yes, Lord, I'm going for it. Woo, it's going to be exciting. But probably where you struggle is when the Lord says, stay right there. And you're like that bull out in the ring, looking at that red cape, you know. You're pawing around. You want to charge. And the Lord's saying, wait. That's hard. That's hard. But I assure you, God's at work. These scriptures that we just read out of Hebrews 11, 10, 13, and so forth, I read those earlier, are examples of people who saw in the distance what God was up to. And step by step, they lived out their lives. And they had a good testimony before the Lord, not having obtained the fullness of what they were seeing. They waited, waited, waited. Joseph, as I mentioned, waited years. It takes faith to wait. Now, I'm not talking about a passive, well, I'm just not I'm not talking about stalling in fear when you need to be moving in faith. I'm talking about waiting in faith rather than trying to manipulate the circumstances. Because when we're moving and the cloud's not moving, we're moving and God's not moving, I mean, that makes sense, right? Say this hand's God and this is you, and you start moving and God's not. What's that creating? Distance. And we're told, draw near to Him and He'll draw near to us. Leading is God moves and we follow. And that takes faith too. I don't want to this to come across to you in a way that, again, makes it just a simple thing, because the truth is it's not. Sometimes you agonize in prayer and you labor in prayer and you travail before the Lord and you do everything you know to do and you give everything you've got to give, and it's like nothing's budging, nothing's moving. And that's when we wait by faith. He who waits on the Lord, Lord will renew your strength. You'll rise up like an eagle, you know, with your wings unfurled. And yes, when the time comes. These, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. We're told that Abraham waited for that city whose builder and maker is God. And that's still not completely done. There's a new heaven and a new earth. And that's the full package for all of us, is that if you live in perfect obedience until you breathe your last breath from tonight to whenever that is, when you stand before the Lord, there's still so much that has yet to be accomplished and finished that you're going to enter into. Even when you leave here and you're with the Lord. And by the way, living in heaven ultimately is not way off out yonder somewhere. Ultimately, where we're going to dwell eternally is on earth. A new heaven and a new earth. One that's been renovated, if you will. This one's going to be melt with fervent heat. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to be productive and we're going to be active. And, you know, I personally believe there's going to be all types of things that God's going to be doing. And you're going to have assignments. And it's not going to be just floating around on a cloud listening to harp music while angels drop grapes in your mouth. That sounds boring anyway. You know, God is creator. I just think we ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. Waiting can be difficult. Who am I going to marry? What job do you have for me, Lord? You know, where am I going to live? You know, where's the friend I've longed for? When am I going to get my breakthrough? I just encourage you, be faithful, as the old-timers would say, you bloom where you're planted. Don't run off until God gives you the green light. Don't make a change. You wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. You'll be better for it. Doing life God's way is going to put you in a much better situation than you trying to figure things out on your own and running ahead of God, are refusing to move with God. And thank God for His mercy, because we've all missed it at times when we didn't go where He said go. We've missed it at times we didn't wait when He was saying wait. Thank God for His mercy. Third thing is this. You may have to suffer not knowing why. And this is the most difficult one of the three I've mentioned. Peter talked about the fiery trials that we go through. James talked talks about the trials that we go through. Paul talks about his trials, talks about the trials we have to face. Now, you might get you a Western version of Christianity somewhere that's just sanitized and sterile and everything's flashy and fancy and there's no difficulty and there's no obstacles because you're a great man of power for the hour, a great woman of power for the hour, and because you say certain things and do certain things, then everything's got to go a certain way. And please don't hear me saying or minimizing true Bible faith. God honors that. But I'm just saying some people make it something else. You don't put faith in your faith. You put your faith in God. That's the object of our faith. You start putting faith in your faith, that's a fake faith. With God, all things are possible. You leave the God part out and you're in trouble. Our faith is to be in the Lord, and our faith needs to be in His Word. Yes, we want to live by faith. That's what Hebrews 11 is about. But it's not a version that's without difficulty and obstacles and suffering and sometimes pain. We just read that. Some people were sawn in two, persecuted, mocked. All of us in here probably know somebody that lived a very godly life and they suffered a lot. And that kind of theological math can lead people into dark places if you're not careful. It all comes back to God, I don't understand, but I trust you anyway. It comes right back to that. This doesn't make sense to me, because if you're looking for everything to make sense and you're looking to always get rid of the question marks and have an exclamation point, you're not going to be able to do that. But if when you're facing those things that you can understand and you're facing those things that don't make sense, if you'll just have in your heart, Lord, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to try to do it the way you tell me to do it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe for my miracle. I'm going to stand. I'm going to fight. I'm going to trust you. And I'm not going to let fear, doubt, and unbelief talk me out of not trusting you. Because the moment you figure out that it's got to look just like this or happen just like that, you're setting yourself up for some disappointment more than likely. Because trusting God means He leads the way. And it really comes down to, if you're willing to trust Him for your eternal salvation, can you trust Him with today? Can you trust Him with your tomorrow? And I'm telling you, He's trustworthy. You may have to suffer and not know why. Sometimes you suffer and you didn't do anything wrong. Somebody else did, but you're paying a price. That's not fair. You don't find in the Bible anywhere where it says life is fair. It's not. Bad things can happen to good people. And they do. But in the middle of all that, God's not willing for anybody to perish. In the middle of all of that, there's spiritual warfare. The devil wants to take you out. In the middle of all of that, God is still good. And God is still love. I've stood beside too many people that stood at a grave with their questions unanswered. But I've seen tears roll down their face. And I've seen them lift their hands, knowing their heart was torn in two, not understanding what happened, but saying, God, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. And I will agree that He is trustworthy. No matter what happens, ultimately, believer, it's all going to be all right. It's all going to be all right. We have to be able to live with unanswered questions. And you take those and you lay them at the feet of an unwavering God. You do that, you'll be all right. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's the decision we make. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I may have to go not knowing where. I may have to wait not knowing when. I may have to suffer not knowing why. But one thing about all these people, this great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 11, as well as every other blood-bought child of God, we have the assurance of eternal life, and our permanent address will be in a place where there's no more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more torment, no more devil, no more sin, no more curse, not even any darkness. And this is manna for people that are hurting and dealing with stuff. God is faithful. God is love. God is good. Now, there may be all these questions and more. Why won't God tell me where? Why won't God tell me when? Why won't God tell me why? Why won't God tell me what? Why won't God tell me who? Why won't God tell me how? These are all unanswered questions. But I encourage you, you choose to believe God. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. That means you're putting your faith and trust in God. I encourage you to walk by faith, wait in faith, war by faith, and worship in faith. I remember years ago, and I finish with this as our worship team comes. Years ago, I heard one of my former pastors give an acronym for the word faith, F-A-I-T-H. He said, if you want to boil it down, a simple way of saying faith is forsaking all, I trust Him. That was the acronym, F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. He knows what we don't. He can do what we can't. And He'll still be here when everything else is gone. Trust Him. Would you stand with me? Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness to each of us tonight. And I pray for those that may be in the middle of a struggle. They may be straining against contrary winds. They may be confused. And Lord, I pray for that person that's been kind of brow-whipped and told, well, you just don't have enough faith, or you wouldn't have lost your loved one, and those kind of things. You are our strong tower. You are the cleft in the rock for us. You're our foundation. You are our God, our Heavenly Father. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You're the God who heals us, the God who saves us, the God who delivers us, the God who provides our supply, the God who hears and answers prayer. You're all of that. You're so merciful. You're so kind. You're so gracious. You're so good. Lord, there's so many reasons why we should just settle it once and for all. You are trustworthy. And yet, at times, some small thing comes along and we find ourselves struggling with doubts. Help us. Forgive us. Strengthen us. May we be strong in you. May we feed on your word. Be strong in spirit. Use the sword of the spirit, knowing you never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for these great men and women of God in Hebrews 11 who went the distance for you. And I thank you, Lord, that though they may have died with questions, they stood in your presence with answers. Thank you for that. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to be here at the front. If you have need of someone just to pray with you tonight, maybe you're going through something and this message is like to encourage you to, you know, I've been struggling. I just want you to pray with me that I'll stand strong. I'll trust God. Whatever your need is, you feel free to come as we sing.